as Reformation fires burn. In later years, as great revivals came, when saints would seek the Lord and pray. Oh, once again, we need that holy flame to meet the challenge of today. Come, Holy Spirit.
Loving Father, we thank you this morning for the gift of life and mercies that are renewed every morning. We thank you for inviting us by faith into the holy and the most holy in preparation for the anointing, so that our feet will bear the message of Christ, bringing about holiness as we continue to experience the ephod and the girdle of Christ. So as we continue this morning, I ask that the Holy Spirit, that Spirit in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, that resurrected Christ from the grave, will continue through the regenerating power to do that work that is needed within us, as we continue to make the preparation through prayer, fasting, studying your word, praying your word, and witnessing your word. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for your children. Thank you for the angels, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And thank you for your mediatorial ministry in heaven as the cleansing is taking place, as we continue to become and remain responsible and accountable for the temples that you have entrusted to us. Breathe your breath upon us today, and may that refreshing that is needed come to be experienced, the healing, the deliverance, the encouragement, the reproof, and the strength. Whatever it takes to glorify your name, let it be done even now, for Christ's sake. Amen and amen. Good morning, saints. Good morning again. Thank you for this journey and journeying with you. It has been a blessing, tremendous blessing. And I am enjoying every moment of what God is doing in my life. This morning, the topic is the breastplate. Why? It would be reoccurring. The colors are the same. Reoccurring over and over again, God is speaking to us. So this morning, our scripture reading will be taken from Exodus 28, verses 15, 17, and 27, 28, and 29, just for us to have a clue of what is written about the breastplate. Exodus 28, verses 15, 17, 28, 27, 28, and 29. Can someone kindly read for us, please? Thank you.
Exodus chapter 28, reading from verses 15,
17, and you give me the other number. 27 through 29.
Okay, 15, 17, 27 through 29.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Dear Father, give us clarity of thought as we read your inspired word. I pray. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen, shalt thou make it. 17. And thou shalt set it in settings of stone, even four rows of stone. The first row shall be a sardis, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. 27. And two other rings of gold thou shalt make, and shall put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, towards the four parts thereof, over against the curious girdle of the ephod. And they shall bind the breastplate by the ring thereof unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loose from the ephod. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart. When he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be unto Aaron's heart. When he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue, and there shall be an hole on the top of it, in the midst thereof. It shall have a binding of woven work round about the hole of it, as it were the hole of an other harvest, a burgeon, that it be not rent. And beneath, upon the hem of it, thou shalt make pomegranate of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. A golden bell, and a pomegranate, a golden bell, and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron the midst. And his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and grave upon it, like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. So that is it, Amanda?
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Now, you notice the colors are reoccurring over and over again. So the frequency of the purple, the scarlet, the blue, and the linen. You notice the four colors in all every time the Bible reoccurs. It's the blue, and then the purple, and then the scarlet, and then the blue, and then the scarlet, the purple, and then the scarlet, right? So it's reoccurring. The blue, as we read in Numbers chapter 34, we read where the blue represents the commandment, the law. And if you study that, you would see eternity, righteousness. Just that one word, it will show different aspects of the character of Christ. So the breastplate, you notice something there, the breastplate and judgment. It's important for us. That's why Daniel chapter 8 and verse 14.
14 tell you, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed, because it is a time principle. The atonement occur on a specific time. Judgment also, it's judgment is placed there because the principle of judgment is time, right? And the breastplate upon the breast, you would see this in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, part of the armor of God, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Right, the breastplate of righteousness. But we could say this, but what is the experience of the breastplate of righteousness? The experience is repentance. Again, if you look at the breast, just where your breast, you hold your breast there, you have your heart and then the lung at the back. Right? So prayer and confession, right? The scripture tells us our hearts are desperately wicked above all things. And then we are told or we are reminded, educated, that prayer is the breath soul. Now we don't have time to get into all the scriptures, but you would begin to look for the experience. As you study the Word of God, you would be looking for the experience of what it entails to wear the breastplate of righteousness. Now, when Aaron entered in, he entered in with the names on the breastplate, with the understanding of his responsibility for the nation. Now, in typology, Seventh-day Adventists have entered in with the bridegroom by faith. We, too, are responsible for the nation and the world at large. In other words, the whole world is resting on our shoulders. We ought to bear the burdens of others in pointing, encouraging them, and teaching that the bridegroom cometh. A specific time, the day of atonement, we supposed to be experiencing repentance on this journey. Now, I'll give you a scripture, not to read, but I'll give you, as you study, to see Christ himself with the armor. Christ, if you look at Isaiah 59, I'm going to give you Isaiah 59. The scripture is 59 from verses, you could read from 16 to 21. We're not going to read it. I'm giving you this for your extra study because of time. There you begin to see the journey. And this king was entering west. He was coming in from the east and he was going west. In other words, these names and titles and the geographical locations are not just placed there because. They are placed there for us to see Christ as he journey in. So as we too continue to journey with him, our arrow would be straight, right? We enter east with Jesus through baptism, and we are heading west with him as we linger, kneel, bow, and stand in the holy or the most holy, according to the invitation of the Word of God to experience the power as the Spirit of God lead us to do his bidding to glorify God's name. Now, the breastplate is very intriguing. I began a study, and I want to provoke you to study this too. On the breastplate, you have the tribe. You have the tribe, right? And I was looking into this. Now, every one of these tribes, if you study the 12 disciples, and you study the 12 tribes, you can see the compatibility in character. You will begin to see the compatibility in character. If you look at every stone of how it's birthed out from the earth, every stone, the name it was given, the characteristic that was manifested through those men. In other words, Issachar is one of the guys that I think I kind of looking when I was studying, I kind of look like Issachar in the sense Issachar is equated to John, right? John, not John the Revelator. Now, in Issachar, the way I say this, in little characteristic that I'm looking at, Moses in Deuteronomy 33, when he was blessing, when the blessing was taking place, he Zebulun is to go out, and Issachar in thy tent. Right? And I noticed all in my life, I've been more like a homebound person. And as much as I want to go out there on the missionary field, and it seems as though my lifestyle could never coincide. Right? But Issachar also had a gift of understanding time. Right? A gift in understanding time. So you begin to study this. I want to provoke you to do this, to study and to see characteristics. Because the 12 disciples, the apostles, and the 12 tribes, they have characteristics. So if you're studying the breastplate now, when you begin to, as a repentant sinner, what's the fruit of, or some of the fruits of repentance, you will begin to desire to thirst and hunger after righteousness. So you have to, prayer and Bible studies becomes that aroma that pushes you. Now, service, you don't have to worry with service. Once the Spirit of God is begin to flow in the heart, you will go forth and do that which will honor God. Because it's not you anymore. It's the Spirit of God leading you to do the will. Too many times you can tell when individuals are going up here. When you begin to, you know, to use your accolades and to use your titles, and you're lacking grace. It's evident that we're lacking grace in the heart, because when the Spirit of God continues to penetrate the heart, Amanda begins to die. And these occasions here, I have tons of testimonies that I could, you know, talk about myself, but it's not the event. It's not so much the event, but it is the Word of God that brings about the healing, the comfort, the deliverance, and the reproof in your heart that is necessary. So that's what God's children will continue to talk about. He gives us the Sabbath where we can linger and talk about the event, but it's the Word of God, because the seed and the Spirit is in the Word of God with the understanding of the time in which we are living. So I want to provoke you to study that, to go forth and to study that. You know, if you have spare time and as you study the sanctuary, remember saying, get this thinking out of your head. That is a study. It's not a study, but it's a journey, and continual studies is needed in this topic. The sanctuary, and it prepares, it gets you up to heaven. And in heaven, there is a literal sanctuary, and the study continues. Now, we're going to look into the New Testament now to help us to understand what we are talking about. I want to say that there is a judgment that took place on Calvary. There is a judgment that took place on Calvary in John chapter 12 and verse 31. And we need to understand this too. When you think law and principle, here a little, there a little. I remember Sister Beverly asking me, Sister Amanda, you didn't say anything about the 144,000. But through those scriptures that we were studying, the 144,000 could not be seen from my perspective. So we just don't want to pull out a topic from the head. It's the scriptures that open, it's the scriptures that interpret, it's the scriptures that instruct. Because God is what? He is the author, he is the instructor, and he is the interpreter. So anytime we present the message, the clarity of seeing Jesus through the scriptures must be seen in the mind. Once he opens up the mind to see the movement, well, the scripture says, well, the bridegroom cometh. Well, then you pause and say, well, where's this man coming from? Right? So he's coming from somewhere. So you begin to see. It's called the bridegroom. So when you look at the wise and the foolish virgin, you begin to see, well, I am not the wise, or neither am I the foolish. I have entered in with the bridegroom by faith, so I am proclaiming the bridegroom coming. So it begins to become a literal way as he changes the way we think, aligning it with the Word of God. And when we see it and we pray it and we begin to live it a new transformation is taking place, and God's name is glorified. Ellen G. White says, when it is occurring, the angels are rejoicing in heaven for every repentant sinner. I pause here for us to pray. I need a prayer or two as we continue. We need to understand and plead with God for the gift of divine repentance with the understanding of our responsibility for the souls that are around us, beginning in your home. Who would pray? Anyone?
Precious Savior, I realize that I have a role and obligation to surrender myself and continually pray for my brothers and my sisters, pray for my household, so that the angels in heaven will rejoice. And my soul will rejoice and be glad in the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Anyone else? All right.
The gift of repentance, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. So we're going to read John chapter 12 and verse 31 to see that there's a judgment that took place. That's a principle of the judgment. John chapter 12 and verse 31 on Calvary.
Yes. 12:31. Now is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of the world be cast out.
Amen. So that judgment, that why Christ or why John is recording this, because the foundation of the Word of God through the experience and the manifestation of Christ, it was to vindicate the character. The whole universe was caught up in this mess. Now, when Christ came, when that occurred, he was fulfilling, so the unfallen world were able to see now that which Christ will accomplish on Calvary. It was only on Calvary that the angels in heaven recognized the real sinfulness of the adversary. It was only on Calvary that was cleared out of their mind. Now listen to this. When Christ came, he gave up deity, right? He is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. Christ gives up his omnipresence to take on humanity. You know, when we make casual, I would say rude, lawless statements like, oh, you know, I'm only human, Amanda. I am only human. You know, we insulting Jesus. You know that? We're insulting him because this man, by the name of Jesus Christ, he has a name and a surname, and he has many accolades. He took on, he gave up his omnipresence to take on this nature like you and I. And then to lift us up in the presence of his Father so we can have the privilege of calling him his Father, Abba Father. That's why he said in John chapter 14, it is expedient for me to return so that I can send the gift of the Spirit of God, right? The Spirit of God proceeded from the Father. We recite that, but saints, if we are looking for the anointing, if we are looking to manifest holiness, if we are looking to go forth bare feet before God and before humanity, that little phrase, he proceeded out of the Father, comes with heavy cost, right? The understanding and the experience that is needed. When we pray for the Holy Spirit, we're very casual about it. We lack the understanding. I'll give you an example. Let's Ellen G. White say, let me just read it, one of her statements, and I'll make an example of how we think. She says that she said the change of heart represents by the new birth. Pride and self-love resist the Spirit of God. Then she says that God doesn't need any Pharisee individuals here. I didn't get it. Okay. She says, pride and self-love resist the Spirit of God. Every natural inclination of the soul opposes the change from self-importance and pride to the meekness and the lowliness of Christ. But if we would travel in the path to the eternal life, we must not listen to the whispers of self. Humility and contrition, we must beseech our Heavenly Father. Create in me a clean heart. Now, when we pray that prayer, we would say things like, Lord, take away the Pharisee and take away my, and create in me a clean heart. Now, when we pray that prayer, what happens is, when the Spirit comes to do the work, we forget that which we prayed for. And then you blame the devil, your husband, your co-worker, the pastor, the church, the clergy, the whole team. When you pray that prayer, you should or I must be expecting a work to be done. Now, in the event of the Spirit coming to do the work, he is coming, he's a chisel, he's a hammer, he is water, he is fire, he is oil, he is salt. He's coming with his tools, and it's not always pleasant. Because this nature is bent, our nature is bent towards crookedness. So when he comes to do the work, we blame everyone else, and then the prayers that we prayed, our own prayers, we are not taking responsibility for our prayers. So Christ cannot do that work that heaven desire, because the pen of inspiration says he cannot cooperate with the adversary. So if you don't know it's him, he can't do the work. He would not do the work because you do not identify him. He said, my sheep will hear my voice and follow me. But this morning I want to focus on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 8 and 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 8 and 9. The breastplate is pungent. It is thick. It is heavy with the lessons of the holy and the most holy. It helps and it bridges us to help us to understand our responsibility to God and our responsibility towards humanity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9. Since there is no New Testament writing without the Old Testament, and Jesus took them back, he said, oh ye fools, and he took them back to Moses. The minute you hear Moses, you hear the sanctuary. Without this message, we are giving our own interpretation to the scriptures. Now, James, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 will help us to understand a few things. Can someone kindly read it for us, please?
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 8
and 9. Yes.
But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and forget and pour and helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you very much. You notice here with the breastplate represents is a principle of breastplate. In Isaiah 61, one of the principles talks about the garment of salvation. You begin to see this here, Thessalonians 5, verse 9, talking about what? The breastplate of faith and love. You cannot manifest love without repentance. Really and truly. You really can. If you look again, look at the law of the mind and then look at the law, the four stages of law. The letter of the law, the spirit of the law in service, and the law in character. Now, again, it's a trickling. Keep that in your mind, generating day and night. And then you have reasoning, intellect, judgment, and will. Let's say something. People say this, and they teach us this a lot. They said, you know, to lose weight, Amanda, you need self-will. You need to, I struggle with appetite, saying, keep that in prayer. But I know how God is delivering me. I have a disease called spiritual pride. And as he continues to go a little deeper, I begin to see anger and cruelty. And then he goes a little deeper. I see attitude. And he goes a little deeper. So in the interim of God cleaning me up, I know that I will be an overcomer by the grace of God. But I struggle with appetite. So you have people say things like, oh, Sister Mandy, you know, just like how you preach the sanctuary message, you can do this. Just do this. And I, you know, but I take the advice and I would say, pray for me. Pray for me. Now, because of this man by the name of Sigmund Freud, his teaching, you would hear people saying things like this. Now, I am looking at the law, reasoning, intellect, judgment, and will. That's generating in my mind. So if you can reason according to the word of God, then it means that your advice is not really harsh. Nevertheless, saints, God sees a cheerful and an obedient servant, but he honored those prayers because you are giving that which you have. Right? You're giving that which you have. And I said to the sister the other day, I said, you know, I thank you for your sister Pauline was there to pray for me. And I said, you know, I think different. I really think different. Now, you have teaching that you have to, it's only, you have to will yourself. And it's lazy people that are fat. That's not true. That's not true, saints. Now, that reasoning is flawed. How do I know? Let's draw that same principle. Do you want to tell me a baby that is overweight could self-will, and because the baby is lazy, that baby is fat? You get it? So we have the philosophy of men all mingled up in our teaching. Why? Because of the letter of the law. We fail to apply the letter of the law. So our reasoning is just like Revelation chapter 13 says, and the body was of the leper, the paw of a bear, the mouth of a lion. The philosophy, the Greek philosophy, is mingled in our teaching. So when it's mingled up, there is no oil in the word. Righteousness is accompanying the effort to whose hearts and minds are open to Christ. But that type of reasoning helps us to understand, you know, it's deeper than that. And you know something, saints, I want to encourage you. God deliver me from just simple trust in the gospel, worshiping morning and evening. And I sat at my bed a couple weeks ago when God said, Amanda, and I have stopped worshiping in the evening. He said, why don't you worship me? What happened? It's like he's saying, Adam, where are you? Were you hiding? He said, I'm hiding. I heard your voice. So worshiping morning and evening, it sounds simple and silly, but there is tremendous reward in obedience to God. And that's why Paul says that this gospel is foolishness unto men, but lies within obedience. The power lies within. Could you imagine you and I worshiping in the evening and you're going forth and you're telling people, oh, come and celebrate the Sabbath with me? But you're not bowing to the man that created this day, morning and evening sacrifice. You're not. So it makes you a lying witness. And it makes me a lying witness. Now, if I'm preaching and teaching you and I'm saying you must eat two meals and I'm eating one long meal starting from 9 o'clock until 10 o'clock, right? Or picking every second, I am a lying witness. You have to live that which you preach and preach that which you live with the understanding of higher and holier experience. If you're wearing the breastplate of Christ's righteousness, that's why in Ephesians chapter 6, you notice after the loins were covered, then the breastplate experience, and what happened next? Shod your feet with the gospel of peace. You have to tell, you have to pray, you have to study, because now the anointing is taking place and the Spirit is leading you. And then he said, put on that, take the shield of faith. In other words, continue in Bible study. Put on the helmet of salvation. The law of the mind begins, your reasoning becomes different. Your intellect, because you're applying the scripture, because you see in Christ, in all circumstances and situations, your judgment, you begin to understand how to, when crisis comes, you begin to understand and lean more on the word of God as the will of God is being generated and fulfilled in your life and my life. I mean, I pause here to pray. Can we have a prayer or two? Loving Father, we taught breastplate, but we prayed this morning for the experience of the breastplate so we could tread our feet with the gospel of peace as the anointing is upon us to, for you to bring about holiness, making us partakers of your divine nature and reflectors of your glory. Open the calves of the lips of your children as we lift up our voice on high, as you prepare this blessing to bring about healing, restoration in our lives, individually and collectively, we pray these blessings with thanksgiving. Amen and amen.
Precious Lord, I pray that when I read, put on the breastplate, that will be an understanding in my heart and my mind, because you're calling me and appointed me unto salvation, to surrendering myself so others will see you in me. But above all, I will be sanctified because of obedience.
Amen.
Application of your word. Amen.
Amen. Anyone else?
Father, precious Savior, we thank you, Lord, for what you are saying to us this morning to your dear daughter. Pray, dear Father, that you will help me to put your words into practice and live in obedience to you. I pray for a blessing on Sister Amanda and for everyone on this prayer line today and all through the day, the 10 day of prayer and fasting, and every day that we come on this prayer line, Lord, your words that you have sent us, oh God, we cry out to you that you will help us to live in obedience. Help me, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Anyone else? All right. So this that First Thessalonians 5 is helping us to understand the expectation of our experience. It says, let us there be sober. Right? This has to do with appetite. Right? It's a spiritual and a physical. Once you are in the most holy place, you have to see that it comes about so easy. So easy, because the minute you see a physical, you see a spiritual connection there. So in other words, we are not naturally spiritual, but it gives expectations for the experience. Right? So when the scripture talks here about be sober, he's telling you how he will make you sober, right? He says, put on the breastplate of faith and love. And the helmet, the hope of salvation. So he gave these segments here for me to help me and to help you how he will bring about holiness. So when I read and I pray, I await the Spirit of God to do that which will glorify. So you can't tell him what to do. I'll give you an example. In Romans chapter 8 and 26, you notice how the scripture says, and we know not how to pray. And so we take that, we read the scripture, and we say, well, we don't know how to pray. But when the pen of inspiration says, we will not get our way to heaven, then we ought to know how to pray. What the scripture is saying, I'll give you an example, because I had some experience in this. When, for instance, my family, when I get upset, I was coming home one day, and I was upset with my relatives, my brothers and sisters, and all of them. And in my mind, I begin to say, you know, if I am going to be the only one to be saved, I'm going to hold on to Jesus. It's going to be me. And right the way the Spirit of God came, no, no, Amanda. No, no. You are your brother's keeper. Now, listen carefully to the experience. Amanda could have chosen a scripture by saying, oh, well, I'm going to be the only one sibling to be saved. Why? Because the Word of God say, I must work out my own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Anytime your nature picks a scripture to appease yourself, it is not Christ. Now, how do I know it's Jesus speaking to me? Because the scripture tells me when the Spirit of God comes, he will reprove Amanda. Once you are living in the most holy place, the law of God is there. Right away, reprove is given to you. Every day you should be looking to be reproved from God. It's the blessings of the love and the mercies of God. So, no, I did not know. When the scripture says you do not know how to pray, in other words, I did not know which scripture the Spirit of God was working on me on. That I did not know because I could. And how do I know it's him? Because he reproved me of my self-centeredness and my selfishness by saying, oh, you know, if it's only I'm going to be, if it's only one of the family members is going to be saved, it is Amanda. So what you see, when you experience the scripture, it broadens the perception of the scripture. And thus we need the application of the scripture in the heart. Now, that's why that when you know, you read the scripture and say, well, you appease yourself by saying, when you get corrected by prayer, you get offended. And you said, well, the scripture says, well, we need not how to pray. Well, when you say that, I believe in all my heart, you have no experience with that scripture. Rather than saying, you know, Lord, I really understand what this lady is saying, or Brother John or Brother Mary is saying, but go back to Jesus and say, but you know, Lord, help me to be willing to accept and experience this thing so I can see it in my own heart. But what happened, this nature is a con artist. You talk about a con man, the nature that we inherited is a con man. So he would use, or she would use, I say he all the time. I don't know why. Because Adam was created first. So I guess I say he all the time. This nature, he would just stand up. He would just use the scriptures. You can use the scripture to justify yourself and go marching, singing songs of Zion, but marching straight to hell. Anytime you find yourself justifying yourself with the scripture, pause a little. Go to the Lord and ask him to accept that which he wants to teach you. Because what the
the earth, so my ways differ from you. We could only see one or two. Jesus said, when I ask and I pray, you know, I remind myself, he has a thousand ways in answering questions. A thousand ways in answering one question. So I want to pause here as we conclude. I'm looking at the time. But remember, when you're talking about the breastplate, it is repentance. It is divine repentance. You enter, and once you are experiencing, you are becoming responsible and accountable of the gospel of the bridegroom coming. And you're preaching your truth, the truth of Christ. Ask God to show you how you pretend. You know, ask God to see you in your pretensive behavior. You know, when we are among the saints, we get dressed up and don't forget about the clothing outside, because it can mean nothing before God. You could have your long skirt, your little hats, and all of that, your glove on. Means nothing. But you're teaching in harmony with you. I know when I'm preaching from the head and when I'm preaching from the heart. It's a difference in the heart religion. You know, I am much calmer. I see the spirit aligning. But when a man that comes in, or you know, it's me, and it's a different flavor altogether. You have to understand these things in your own heart. No one can do it for you. In prayer, when Jesus gave the model of the prayer in the Our Father, no one can pray for you. That's why he gave a model. It's not to be recited. It's practically to see the model of how to articulate towards God and towards humanity. Loving Father, we just want to thank you. We thank you for the armor of God. We thank you for Jesus standing as our high priest, intercessor, and king. Lord, we casually say these things, but I'm thanking you for the awakening that is taking place in our mind, our hearts, and our soul, allowing you to brighten up our minds and our hearts, to see our defects with an attitude of gratitude at how you have been working on our behalf. Thank you for making all provisions, and thank you that we can't with the understanding that you cannot manifest your love without faith, without repentance, without contrition. So continue, Lord, to deepen the desires within our hearts to see from left, right, north, east, and south. It is one gift that we need to bring about revival and reformation. Divine repentance, breathe your breath upon us and grant us individual, personal, and collective experiences, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen and amen. All right, I think any questions now, or any thoughts or prayer, and Sister Williams, take over. Any questions, any thoughts, any prayer? And then we rolled over to Sister Williams. The saints are quiet today.
Sister Amanda, good morning.
Good morning.
I want to let you know that through the way the Lord has been using you, I'm sitting here crying, because when I think I know and I have and I'm somewhere, I realize how much I don't know and how much I need to know. I knew already that is a constant going on a battle, but I thought I knew a whole lot that I found out that I did not know. And I thank God for the way he used you. Show me this morning that I cannot be puffed up and pumped up and think I know, because the more I know is the more I need to know, because I know nothing. Loving Lord, as I submit my heart and my mind to you, with the understanding that I'm not my own, And what I think I know is nothing, because mm-hmm. the half has not been told. I thank you for this 10 days and for my willingness to sit at your feet and try to understand what you're saying to me. Because although Sister Amanda expounded so beautifully, it's not for me to close my Bible and say, all right, I get it. It's for me to open the word and apply it to my life, step by step, moment by moment, in a continual way. Because when I hear this and I understand, I feel like somebody using a scrub brush to brush me and to clean me. So I know that I'm not clean, but you're cleaning me up through your words and the Holy Spirit. Using your daughter, help me to be watchful and mindful and not forget what you're trying to show me. Help me, abide with me today and always, and fill my cup to overflow. So when I speak to somebody else about my experience, I will not do it as if I am possessing you or what you did for me. Not what you will do for others, because you did not do for me. You are doing for me, because it's a daily and continual. I thank you for this moment. I thank you, Lord, because it's a he that have a ear, let him hear what you have to say. Clean out the wax out of my ear. And it's not out of my ear, it's out of my heart and my mind. I can apply my heart to the wisdom of God, I pray.
Sister Amanda.
Yes?
Amanda. That we earn. We never stop learning.
Amen.
And we learn daily, momently. And I have to thank God, and I have to listen more attentively and pray more that the Holy Spirit can embed it in my heart, my mind, and my spirit, that I can learn more and also impart it to others as I go. So I thank God for using you and everyone that he has used on the prayer line to bring us a message for this time. May God continuously bless you.
Pray, sis. Give God thanks.
Right. Eternal and Holy Father, I thank you. I thank you for the love, first of all, that you have brought so many of your messengers to feed us in this time, knowing the direction that we were going, when we thought we were going on the right road, knowing that we had to learn it differently and relearn for this time. Father, I thank you for the God you are. There is no God like the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. May you bless the line, every moderator, every representative that you have brought. And remember those who are listening in, and those who are far and wide from all countries that are calling in and are listening. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen and amen.
Mm-hmm. Amanda.
Yeah.
I was wondering what scripture in Isaiah 59, verse 17.
You could put from 16 to 21, the ending of the paragraph. You would see Jesus dressing Isaiah prophesying about the breastplate that Christ wore and the full sermon that he did. The armor of God.
And did you say that
did I hear you right when you said that the 12 tribes were
Yeah, the 12 tribes were on the breastplate, on the breastplate. So it represents when Aaron went in, he went in with the, it's called the breastplate of judgment. So he wore it in the holy place.
Okay.
And so if you dig up deep, I mean, you don't have to go into this because you need to know the foundation before anything else. But if the Spirit of God inspired you or anyone else, the 12 tribes of Judah, if you study them by stone and character, you and principle and precept, you would see how it equates to the 12 apostles.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a masterpiece that I need to complete. Yeah. Go ahead and praise it.
Loving Lord, I just ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit and help me to understand the scriptures as you have written them so that I will have a better understanding of your word. Sometimes I don't quite understand and I have to keep reading and reading, but I'm praying, Lord, that you help me to have more clarity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Okay. All right, Sister William.
Father in heaven, thank you for your good and your mercy.
Thank you for your senior daughter.
Okay, I was speaking on you.
Thank you so much. Bless you, I bless you.
Somebody's praying? Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead, dear. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Lord, for your blessing of mercy. Continue to feed us with your Holy Spirit in your word. May your word be abide in me and in all of us. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Sister Amanda, I want to thank you for how you have, clarified certain things this morning, especially as it concerns, you know, our prayer life and how we ought to, you know, look at the scriptures and so on. And one of the things that really stood out forcibly to me is the fact that we sometimes take a little part of the scripture and fit it, put it in a little context that, you know, let us see ourselves differently. Mm-hmm. And I'm just praying, dear Heavenly Father, that you will allow me to see myself as who I really am, so that my prayers will be directed to you accordingly. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father, for this revelation. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen.
And dear Father, I just pray now for Sister Amanda as she continues to spread the truth about you, Lord, and the sanctuary message. Lord, I've never really understood so many things as it concerns our way that we ought to walk in the sanctuary. I pray, Father, that you continue to fill her with your word so that as she speaks with clarity, your children will be able to understand not only their true standing in you, but, Lord, the way that they ought to go so that others can see you in us and come to love and serve you. This I do ask. In your son's precious name. Amen. God bless you, Sister Amanda. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
For how you have been bringing these messages to us with such clarity.
Praise God.
Yes.
All right. Have a blessed day, Saint. Have a blessed day in the Lord.
Okay. At this time, we listen to the music from Holy Spirit.
Thank you. Church.